And it's time for some business news. This holiday season, about one of every four Americans will give or receive a computer or video game. That's according to the Entertainment Software Association, an industry trade group.
Any parent and many spouses can testify how easy it is to spend hours at a time on these video games. Some people who make the games say they're putting in too many hours at their computers without overtime pay. The industry's largest game developer is facing a class action lawsuit. NPR's Laura Seidel reports.
Late on a weekday afternoon, school's out and plenty of kids are in the Sony PlayStation store in downtown San Francisco. Dozens of them are lost in playing the latest video games. I'm standing beside one big kid, 45-year-old Mike Kawara. He's engaged in a round of crazy golf.
Almost got that one.
It's as hard as the real thing.
Harder. I play golf. Oh, just love that one too.
While his playing skills may not show it, Kawara has worked in the game industry for 20 years. But his love affair with video games began when he was a teenager. He can still remember the thrill of the first time.
I was amazed that anything could be so fun. It was in the arcades, and there was one game that I was playing that I was absolutely addicted to, and it was the Star Wars arcade game. And I would play that for hours on end.
Back then, Kawara never imagined that he might one day find playing games for hours on end a depressing prospect. In 1983, Kawara joined industry powerhouse Electronic Arts and worked his way up to game producer. But 80 hours or more a week for 3 or 4 months at a time dulled the shine of his work.
You have to nearly destroy your body, destroy your relationships, have no life other than working on this game. You get into the... I'm not the only one, but people get into the darkest, darkest mood.
Sometimes, Kawara says, he and his colleagues would sleep under their desks at work. Kawara says he developed high blood pressure, heart trouble, and the doctor gave him antidepressants. After he got the pills, he had drinks with colleagues from work.
We're having a conversation, people asking, how's it going? I said, well, went to the doctor, got these babies here. And all around the table, people, oh, that's nothing. They're pulling out pharmacies from their bags. I mean, they had ulcer drugs, antidepressants, blood pressure medicines, everything.
After he had a heart attack last year, Kawara decided he didn't want to go back to the game industry. That's why he's willing to be public about what some say is the game industry's dirty little secret. Recently, a woman calling herself EA Spouse, EA stands for Electronic Arts, posted an anonymous lament online. She never sees her game-making husband, a software engineer, and he rarely gets vacations. She thinks EA exploits her husband's love of games. Within 48 hours, there were more than 1,000 sympathetic postings. NPR spoke with more than a dozen people with stories like Kawara's and EA Spouse's. Electronic Arts is also facing a class action lawsuit for overtime pay.
There's many people who've thought about doing the same exact thing I've done, but everybody is just so afraid for their jobs.
Jamie Kirschenbaum, an animator at Electronic Arts, came forward to be the main plaintiff in the lawsuit. 26-year-old Kirschenbaum says he left his animator job in the film industry and took a job at game maker Electronic Arts because the pay seemed good, around $75,000 a year for animators, and there were perks like massages at work, a gym on site, stock options, and he saw a future there.
The game industry is definitely growing and definitely approaching to what film does visually, and it's a growing medium that I think has a lot of potential.
After a year at Electronic Arts, he realized that long hours without overtime pay were the norm. Not so in the film industry, where Kirschenbaum says he was paid state-mandated overtime. That is the crux of the class action lawsuit against Electronic Arts. Under California's overtime laws, people in creative industries like film, television, and theater get overtime pay if they don't control the creative vision, says Kirschenbaum's attorney Miranda Colby. For example, orchestra musicians get overtime because the conductor tells them what to do.
And by analogy, people who fall within the class in our suit, who are creating the images at Electronic Arts, are being instructed as to exactly what those images are supposed to look like.
Colby says the game industry and the hundreds of EA employees affected by the suit are part of the entertainment industry and should be covered by overtime laws. Electronic Arts will not comment on the suit. In a written statement, a spokesperson says the company takes seriously its regular anonymous surveys of employees about working conditions. She says hard work under deadline pressure is prevalent throughout the industry. That's true. These kinds of hours are common, says Jason Della Rocca of the International Game Developers Association. Della Rocca says companies trying to win contracts often make big promises.
And then they get the deal, and it's like, holy cow, we just promised to, like, get this done for Christmas, and we don't have half the money that we need to get it done, and we only have half the manpower. So you know what, everyone? We're all working 20 hours a day and sleeping under our desks and coming in weekends.
But if Electronic Arts and other game makers were forced to pay overtime, it could affect competitiveness, says PJ McNeely, a senior analyst at American Technology Research, a research firm.
Instead of necessarily paying overtime, what they might do is change how they make a video game. So instead of, you know, having a football game with 20 teams in it, it may be a football game with just, say, 15 teams in it. And so there are trade-offs about what they can put into the game in order to still come in under deadline and under budget.
McNeely says game makers might start sending work overseas to save money. But class action lawsuit plaintiff Jamie Kirschenbaum isn't sure that game makers really will lose anything by cutting back hours.
When you start to get to 17-hour days, or, you know, even, you know, 15-hour days, there's a lot of mistakes happen and a lot of bugs happen. And I think it's just they make a mistake by pushing people that far.
And Kirschenbaum, a fan of games himself, wonders if truly fun games can be created by people who aren't having a good time. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.